This program is presented by the MCTV Network, a service of the City of Midland, Michigan. This presentation coincides with programming on Midland Government Television, covering government affairs in the City of Midland.
The following presentation of the Midland City Planning Commission will begin in a moment. The Midland City Planning Commission is responsible for overseeing the city's master plan, conducting public hearings, and offering recommendations to the City Council on a wide range of local land use issues. The Planning Commission consists of 9 Midland residents who are appointed by the City Council. The Planning Commission meets 2 Tuesdays per month at 7 p.m. in Council Chambers at City Hall. This presentation is provided by the MCTV Network, a service of the City of Midland. Replays of this meeting can be found on MGTV Channel 188 on Charter Spectrum, through Channel 99 on AT&T UVerse, or on demand at www.cityofmidlandmi.gov. Select meetings are available on MCTV Network's Government Affairs podcast channel.
Welcome to the regular meeting of the Midland City Planning Commission for Tuesday, January 26, 2021. This meeting is being held electronically due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Going down to the meeting agenda, this meeting is called to order. And now we'll go to roll call. Mr. Marshall, would you please call roll?
Yes. Fine.
Yes, here.
All right, and I should also remind you to please, when you say that you're here, please indicate what city you are calling in from virtually.
From what?
Calling in from virtually, where you're at.
Oh, I'm at home.
At home in Midland?
Excuse me?
In Midland?
Yes.
Perfect, all right. Broderick?
Here in Midland.
Bain?
Home in Midland.
Seibel?
Here in Midland.
Kohlinger?
Here in Midland, Michigan.
And Mayville?
Here in Midland, Michigan. All right, thank you. Next item, number 3, we'll go to approval of minutes. Were there any changes? Is there minutes from the regular meeting on January 12th? Any changes? Doesn't sound like anybody has anything. Any motion to approve?
Mr. Chair, this is Dave Hying. I move that we approve the minutes from our last meeting.
That's Commissioner Seibel, I second.
Okay, we have a motion to approve and second the meeting's minutes from January 12th. Mr. Marshall, would you please take a roll call vote, please?
Sure. Kohlinger?
Yes.
Mayville?
Yes.
Seibel?
Yes.
Bain?
Yes, I wasn't there, but I have no objection, so yes.
All right. Broderick?
Yes.
And Hine?
Yes.
Okay, that's approved. Moving on. We have one public hearing tonight. Item A on the agenda, it's a capital improvement plan dated 2021 out to 2027. It'll be a staff presentation and public hearing. When I took a look at the agenda on our public hearing process, this one is a bit different than a lot of our public hearings on site plans. So I went ahead and just slightly modified the public hearing process. And so first off, the staff is going to present an overview of the report. It's really a report. It's not something where we have a petitioner. And then we'll have public comments overall. And then we'll go down to an opportunity for the staff to answer questions based on public comments and any final comments that they may have. We'll close the public hearing, and then we'll deliberate as a planning commission and have a possible decision tonight by the planning commission to formulate a recommendation to city council. That's our role for tonight, is to formulate a recommendation to the council for this. Any questions on that? Just slightly modified. I just wanted us to understand we're working with a report. Okay, great. Thank you. Sounds okay. So let's move on. Staff presentation and overview of the report. Grant, I'm not sure who's going to be doing this.
Yep, so Chairman, I'll actually start off and then I'll hand it off to Shane Bjorgi, our assistant city engineer. Okay. From there, we'll present or go through the rest of the staff presentation. Tonight, we do have Peter Schwartz, our department head for the water department. We also have Karen Murphy that's joined us as well, and she's our director of public services. So we'll each be able to hear from the three of them eventually as we proceed through our presentation on the capital improvement plan this evening. Chairman, you did indicate that this is a public hearing, and so I do have up on the screen instructions for anyone that may want to comment at the end of the staff presentation and after there's been time for the planning commissioners to ask questions. You can see that here there is kind of three different options for unmuting yourself when we do have a call for those public comments. If you're joining via PC or via an app, it's to the bottom left. And then if you're joining us via phone, it's *6 on your keypad. But with that, I'll dive into the community, the capital improvement plan, stretching out not only this upcoming fiscal year, but also five additional years after that for a total of 6 years for the life of this plan. It's been a number of years that we've been looking at the capital improvement plan, something that was started back in 2016, I believe, was the first year that we put together a capital improvement plan. And really, it's intended to be a document that gives a really a 30,000 foot overview of the capital expenditures of the city. And I say that mostly because of the purview that the Planning Commission has as it relates to the long-term vision for the community, how we're allowing for new development to take place, how we're fostering and being good stewards of the existing infrastructure that we have within the community, and how we're thinking about really growth and where that growth is taking place relative to sprawling out into additional land or whether or not it's infill and taking underutilized sites and making them into more productive land uses, if you will. All of that, of course, is facilitated, the private market and the development is facilitated really by the investments that the public sector makes through things like transportation with our roads, as well as utilities. And so tonight we'll talk through not only road infrastructure, but we'll talk about water infrastructure, wastewater infrastructure, and then, of course, refuse and where we take all of the trash and whatnot that's created in the city and where we store it at the landfill. And so that's the last piece that Karen Murphy will be focusing on this evening. But the CIP really serves to take a look at how we're spending our dollars in order to foster the right kind of urban model within the city. Of course, the bulk of our capital improvement plan is really related to maintenance of what we already have. And I just want to remind you, we do have a vast and sprawling system. You hear me talk a lot about how we're a sprawling city. We're in the top five cities in the state of Michigan as it relates to square foot or square area, but we're not even in the top 25 as it relates to population. And so over the years, the way that we've developed our community has led to a sprawling and very vast network of roads, a network of sanitary sewers, of storm sewers, of water main as well, especially surrounding outside of our jurisdiction into the surrounding townships, as we're the water provider for the area that surrounds the city. But overall, it is a system that does have the need to be maintained, and the ability for us to be able to do that is what's being laid out within the plan itself in some detail that we'll talk about tonight. There are a couple of indications where there are some minor expansions and modifications. You'll notice that there's a new road proposed that's been talked about for a number of years. We're finally in the fiscal year or coming to the fiscal year where that's proposed to be constructed at for Sugnut Road. There's some other minor expansions that are included within the plan itself, but most notably, something that you won't see within this evening's plan, and I'll talk a little bit about that, is possible expansions as it relates to the storm and sanitary sewer systems within the city and being able to provide for a better level of service with flooding events in particular. And so I'll talk a little bit about that and how that's kind of impacted, because of course, not only are we having a conversation right now about the capital improvement plan, but there's also a broader conversation around flood response that the city council has been involved in over a number of months and really years, but more in detail over the last couple of months, taking a look at exactly what directive they want to give staff. And so I'll spend a little bit of time about where that process is at. And that is my last point that I jumped ahead on. So that does bring me to the wastewater department. You'll notice that we don't have a staff representative here with us this evening. I do plan on talking about the wastewater department. We do not have a department head currently in this department, but we do have folks that have jumped in to be able to take the reins over and allow for the continued functioning of that. Steve Smith and Bruce Royce are gentlemen that have stepped up tremendously to be able to continue in the pursuit of addressing some of the concerns that are within the community. Of course, this last year, we did have our largest flood on record. The 2017 event was not too far off of that. And both of those are really pushing staff and pushing the city to try and look at ways that we can improve the system as it relates to flooding. And so at the city council level in particular, there's been a large discussion over the last few months related to flooding and sewer backups and exactly what directive city council wants to give staff in this particular area. It's ongoing via debate. And last night, if you did turn into the city council meeting, the decision was made to do additional study in order to render a decision as to how they want to go about addressing the needs that exist within the community. I do not want to kind of downplay the scale of what we're looking at. Our 2017 study for both storm and sewer came back with recommendations over $180 million to be able to address some of the concerns that were identified. Since that study, there's been additional research as well as data collection within the city to better refine exactly what our best use of resources would be to address our issues. And that's really what city council is looking at. They're taking all of the data that's been presented to them. In particular, if you want to go back to specific city council meetings to review that data, the last meeting in December of 2020 is a great one. You have to make sure you kind of settle in. It is about a 2-hour presentation and discussion related to the results of the ongoing analysis. But ultimately, where we find ourselves out is a little bit different. Usually we have kind of a good understanding as to where we need to go from a wastewater perspective at this time of year, leading into our next fiscal year. However, this is a very important discussion and something that's not being taken lightly. And so we are still waiting for further direction as it relates to what council does desire. Once council has set their direction, then staff, of course, will follow and will bake that into the CIP. And so what you see within the CIP as it's been proposed, there's a couple of italicized parts of the plan itself. And that's really to give notice that these proposals that are within the wastewater department in particular, they are subject to change because there are some additional decisions that do need to be made by city council. Some things that you do see within the wastewater portions of the plan this evening relate to ongoing equipment needs as well as maintenance improvements in order to operate our current system at the level of service that we're currently operating at. You may notice that there's expenditures at the wastewater treatment plant itself, but as it relates to the network and how that expands out into the city, both on the primarily on the sanitary sewer side of things. There is no planned project proposals for this upcoming year. And the ones that you see in the latter years are really placeholders until we have better refining of the steps that city council wants to take. And so I do want to point out, and this is really why wastewater folks are not in attendance this evening, is because a lot of the things that are inclusive in the plan aren't necessarily related to the overall built environment of the city. They're more related to the plant operations as well as the equipment that's necessary to maintain things that we do currently have. A little bit different and didn't feel it was necessary to include immense discussion on those types of items, knowing that that's something that the Planning Commission really doesn't need to kind of understand in order to make the broader decisions that are necessary as it relates to long-term growth and management of the city from a development perspective. So with that, Chairman, I do want to invite Shane Bjorgi to join us here on screen. I do have his slides, and so you'll actually have him presenting this evening, and I'll be commanding the presentation in the background. But transitioning from wastewater into engineering is our next step. But rather than diving into engineering at the moment, Chairman, I could turn it over for any questions that anyone may have relating to wastewater over or the general overview of this evening's presentation.
Grant, this is James Bain. A real quick question, more from a budgetary or funding process point of view, related specifically to the Sugnet expansion, you know, which is in as a road improvement. Does that carry with it then the sewer and water and storm water build out along that right away, or is it strictly for the street, or how do those pieces fit together?
Yeah, I think Shane will actually address that in his presentation, so I'll kick it over to him if we don't have any other questions, and we'll let him dive in. But I know Sugnet is one piece that he was planning on talking about this evening.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Any other questions, commissioners? Doesn't look like any. We could go ahead to Shane.
Hey, good evening. As Grant stated, my name is Shane Bjorge. I'm the assistant city engineer here at the City of Midland, and I'm here to talk to you about some of the street projects that are on the proposed CIP for fiscal years 22 through 27. Before we get into the projects, I just want to touch on our project selection process and how these projects make it onto our CIP. The first thing, or the first criteria, is the pavement condition index, which we call the PCI. And that is a numerical rating system from 0 to 100 that rates the condition of the pavement. And all streets in the city are rated once every 3 years by city staff, which are trained by MDOT. Another criteria we use heavily is input from water and wastewater departments. The condition of our utilities, in particular water mains, heavily weigh into decisions on which streets get rebuilt. We also take input from Department of Public Services. They're out there on a day-to-day basis doing all the reactive maintenance on the streets, such as pothole patching and the like. And we also take input from residents. And of course, we consider our funding levels on local, state, and federal levels. So here's a snapshot of our proposed capital spending on street projects beginning in fiscal year 2022 and going through fiscal year 2027. It's also broken down by local streets versus major streets. And as you can see, we propose to spend in the $6 to $8 million per year range. We like to stay around six, but sometimes we creep up to 7 or 8. And this slide, I hadn't intended that you'd be able to read the streets, but it's really a snapshot of our 6-year capital plan. There's over 100 street projects on this map. I really just wanted to show you that this map exists. And once the CIP is adopted, this layer gets added to our interactive map on our website. So anyone who wants to can go out there and take a look at this and see what projects are in the current fiscal year and in the upcoming fiscal years. Each color corresponds to a fiscal year. So for example, the next fiscal year is 2022, and that's in purple. I also want to point out, if you get time to take a look at this, we also call out street projects that have water main replacement associated with them. And if you see the little circles, those are streets that have water main as part of their scope.
Shane, could you explain a little bit about how that scope is determined? Just the collaboration between water and engineering, for example, if there's a need for a water project, does the engineering department consider the condition of the road and whether or not it's necessary to do a full reconstruction at that time to address the water main?
We do. We actually work probably most closely with the water department. And as a general rule of thumb, if the water main is in poor condition, the street is also in poor condition. So they, for the most part, they go hand in hand. If we have an old deteriorated water main, we also have a deteriorated street. There are some one-off cases to that where we might want to replace a main, but the street wouldn't necessarily be first on our list to replace. And so there's a little bit of back and forth with the water department and negotiation on which projects will be done when.
Thanks, Shane.
Yeah, and this is just the same map. I just broke out the next fiscal year. So this would be the upcoming fiscal year 2022. And those are the projects that we're looking at. And I'll go over those in a little more detail on the upcoming slides. Somebody had asked about Sugnet Road. If you look over to the left part of the map, you'll see Sugnet on there. And I think the question had to do with utilities. There already is a water main under the proposed Sugnet extension. So the water main already exists, and we are planning to include storm sewer with the street design. So that'll be included. And there is no sanitary sewer planned at this time for that portion of Sugnet. So that is out of scope. So back to our 2022 proposed, these are local streets, so neighborhood streets. I'll let you take a look at those in detail. Just real quickly, we're looking at Burrell Court, Dartmouth Court, Greenbrier Terrace, Hubbard Street, Lindy Street, North Street, Pine Street, and Salem Street. And then moving on to major streets for 2022, we've got Jefferson from Sugnet to Wheeler, St. Andrews from Eastman to the Country Club, the Sugnet extension, which is from Northwood to Main, and Wackerly Street. Wackerly Street, we're actually adding a right turn lane. If you're westbound on Wackerly at Eastman, we'll be installing a right turn lane from westbound Wackerly to northbound Eastman. And we're actually doing that project with MDOT. MDOT has a project also at that intersection. They're going to be adding on at Eastman and Wackerly, they're going to be adding a right turn lane on Eastman. If you're northbound on Eastman and want to turn easterly on to Wackerly, they'll be adding that right turn lane at that location. Right, there's a gas station there, Shell station there currently. So we'll be doing that project with MDOT as one project, but the city has their scope and MDOT has their scope, which will be funded separately. And that concludes my portion of the CIP presentation. Are there any questions?
Hey, commission members, any questions, please?
Just one question. When you look at Sugnet Road, this is Commissioner Seibel, it looks like that's already kind of used, right? It's just sort of a trail or a path. Is that the path that road is going to follow?
It is. You're correct. Yeah, there's the road will roughly follow that. There's a gravel path there with, I believe it's gated on both ends. I'm not sure it's used for anything currently, but the road will roughly follow that gravel path. And this is the third phase of three phases. And the first two phases, I believe one was built in the late 90s and one was built possibly around 2010. So this will be the third phase of three phases on that project. Also the final phase.
Thank you.
Other questions?
Commissioner Hine, question about federal monies. Are there new sources coming available or are they unpredictable or what is it, how reliable and can you count on them?
Yeah, good question. So the way we get federal funds is through our Metropolitan Planning Organization or MPO. And we are federally mandated to be a member of an MPO. And the name of our MPO is actually the Midland Area Transportation Study, or MATS. And so MATS determines how federal funds are dispersed through the region. So the city of Midland, Midland County, and parts of Bay and Saginaw counties are all part of the MATS regional organization. And like I said, the federal money goes through our MPO, and the MPO determines how federal funds will be dispersed. And so that that organization is charged with that. The city of Midland, we kind of take turns on receiving the funding, and the city of Midland historically has usually one project funded about every 3 years.
Okay.
Now that being said, we actually are constructing a Saginaw Road project this summer in the current fiscal year, and that's federally funded in part. And then next year, Sugnet Road is partially federally funded. So we have two projects and two back-to-back years where we're receiving federal funding. But in general, the city gets partial federal funding for a project about once every 3 years as a rule of thumb.
Thank you.
Okay, Commissioner Mayville with a question. Bay City Road, is that a city road?
Bay City Road is a city road out until the limit. It goes from city to county at the highway there at the interchange right near, I think, Valley Plaza Resort is right there. Right in that area is the city limit of Bay City Road.
Okay. I see there was no plans with that over the next 6 years. And when I drive out on that road, it just seemed I have to select a lane to get off of the potholes or whatever the bumps are out there. So I didn't know with the potential, I'm thinking about our master plan and potential buildup of that area over the next few years. Mm-hmm. And if we're in good enough shape for the future with the condition of that road.
Yeah, we do revise our project list this time every year. So all of these projects will be evaluated again at this time next year. And inevitably every year we move projects up and down the list slightly. So as I look at so we actually have our internally our CIP goes out beyond 2027. So I do see there's currently a Bay City project in 2028. It just doesn't show up on the current CIP, which ends in 27. So it's possible that that project, like I said, some of these projects move a year or two as we reevaluate the list every year.
Okay, great, thank you. I was just wondering about that because as we look at the master plan, as I mentioned, that might be one area of the city where there could be a lot of activity coming up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Great, any other questions, commissioners? No, thank you very much, Shane.
All right, thank you.
Who's next up, Grant?
All right, so that will be Peter Schwartz, our director out of our water department.
All right, welcome, Peter.
Hello, good evening. I'm gonna share my screen. Into the presentation. I'll start with an overview of the Midland water system, discuss some of the major impacts to our water system, and then review the capital plan, which hopefully addresses some of these issues. The water department has three divisions, the water treatment plant, the water distribution system, and water billing. We have a total budget of around $13 million. That's 75% operation, maintenance, administration, and then about a quarter of our budget is capital expenses. The plant is capable of treating 48 million gallons a day. We average around 20 million gallons a day, or 7.5 billion gallons a year. That's split also between industrial and domestic customers, roughly evenly. We have around 400 miles of water main, 260 miles or so in the city, and then the remainder 130 miles in the townships. We have another almost 200 miles in our with our wholesale customers. There's a lot of maintenance out there. We have over 3,000 fire hydrants, probably 6,000 valves in the system, 5 pump stations, the water towers, a total of around 20,000 customers, or 60,000 residents. The plant itself, the major assets that we're maintaining on the water treatment plant is a facility. It's a pretty significant building besides our offsite facilities. We have the computer control systems, the process equipment, the clarifiers, filters, all the other equipment needed to treat the water, as well as the pump stations, which maintain the pressure and distribute the water throughout our system. As far as the distribution system goes, you're familiar that we provide water to the city of Midland, but we also provide water to 4 townships, the city of Auburn, and water district number 1. As I mentioned before, the total of around 600 miles of water main. We maintain, city personnel maintain the systems in the city and the townships, and the wholesale customers maintain their own water distribution systems. We have some concerns, some priorities with maintaining this system. Probably the first is the aging infrastructure. Most of our facilities and equipment are at the end of their service life. The original plant that we are still using was built in the 1950s. We had a major expansion in the 1980s, but again, the equipment in both of those facilities are mostly original. We have some projects coming up to hopefully address that. Some of our assets date back to the 1920s. There was a water plant over on Valley Drive between Main and Valley from the 1920s. We're still using portions of that building. With your facilities getting that old, we have increasing maintenance needs. We've added 2 personnel in maintenance for the water plant. Last year, we're adding, requesting to add 2 more this year for the distribution department. Our distribution system maintenance, again, almost half of our water main are over 50 years old. Again, the valves, hydrants, they just require more maintenance. We need to work on that system. I think Grant might have mentioned we're focused mainly on maintaining our system. We're not really expanding at this point. We have a lot of capacity. Now it's just maintaining that infrastructure. We do have a couple of projects to improve the system, mainly to deal with pressure issues. Back in 2004, we built the Northeast Pressure District. There were some aspects of that plan that have not been implemented yet. We're hoping to get that taken care of in the next couple of years, and those are on the capital plan. And finally, we have increasing regulations. Some of them you're probably familiar with. You see things in the news. We have to inventory all of our distribution system in the next few years. Make sure we don't have any lead components out there. It's not an issue really in Midland. We're in pretty good shape. Probably our biggest issue is we have a lot of unknown materials that we are required by law to dig up and determine what material they're made of, mainly the service lines. We have about 5,000 of those that we'll be excavating with some of the, we're purchasing some capital equipment to hopefully help us achieve that in the time frame allowed by law. And some just new testing requirements and regulatory, besides lead and copper, there's PFAS and some other items we're needing to address. Again, we have good water. It's not an issue for us other than just meeting the new regs. So that brings us to the capital plan. It hasn't changed cost-wise much from last year. We're still around $20 million for the total for the 6 years here, averaging $3 to $4 million a year. Most of that is in the distribution system, close to 80% on average being spent on water main replacement. As Shane mentioned, that's coordinated closely with the engineering department and street replacement and wastewater to a lesser extent. And we prioritize which means to be replaced. We're looking at a lot of factors, the age, criticality, breaks, water main breaks, soil conditions. There's a number of factors that are used to determine which water main to replace. Taking a closer look at next year's capital plan, we have about $500,000 in equipment we need to purchase for maintenance needs, the forklifts, machine shop lathe, dump vector, that would be for the excavations, dump truck for the distribution system, facility, the funds there, the $865,000. We'd like to refit a lot of the 1950s East plant, the valves, equipment out over there is original. So they don't work well anymore and really just can't be rebuilt. They need to be replaced. On the distribution side, we're spending the bulk of the funds. You can see 70% almost next year of our funds, close to $3 million on the main replacements and some system improvements. I can go over the large projects in the next 5 years. Two projects for next year that have a total cost of $2.5 million. Large one there is Soccer Drive. We had attempted to do that this year. It just became too big of a project. It got pushed. We need to finish the Northeast Pressure District loop. So that's a 16 water main that will connect Jefferson to Swede. That'll go along Soccer Drive. We originally looked at Wackerly. It really wasn't feasible. And we're going to add another US 10 crossing to connect the distribution systems north and south of the expressway. And then St. Andrews. Most of these projects, if not all of the rest of them, are strictly main replacement. It's an old main with a lot of breaks, a lot of maintenance issues that just needs to be replaced. I guess that's really what I have as far as the plan. You may have some questions.
Okay, commissioners, any questions, please?
You mentioned the this Commissioner Seibel, you mentioned the legislation requiring us to dig up piping that we don't know what it's made of, and you mentioned that we're going to be able to get that done within the time frame required. What is that time frame?
It's we have about 4 years to get that done.
Okay. And from here?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions? Okay, Commissioner Mayville here, have one question. I remember from the flood earlier last year from that catastrophic dam breakage, which hopefully we don't have that again. But I remember I don't know the pumping stations or the water, you know, districts or whatever they're called, but it was west of Eastman and a little bit over Eastman also, where they had residents had to shut down use of water or were asked to because a pumping station, I thought, was underwater. Is that stuff that's taken care of within this kind of a plan?
It wouldn't be something we're addressing. They didn't want to add more to the wastewater side of the system. There was not an issue with the water supply. They were just trying to reduce the load on the wastewater system.
Okay, so it was a wastewater pumping station. Okay, I'm sorry. I remember that. I had a friend that lived in that area and they were like told not to, you know, use water and, you know, sewage and things like that. So, so that's something that wastewater would look at if it was necessary. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Any other questions?
This is Commissioner Hine. Quick question about the input. Are there any changes in the requirements of either state, federal, that talk about, you know, the water that you get from Lake Huron? Do you have to look at it differently, test it differently? Any limitations?
We've had a lot more testing done on our source water. We haven't found anything. We have an excellent source. They're doing additional testing on PFAS again this year. The state's doing additional on our intakes. But we're so far offshore where the water is being collected from. It's 1 to 2 miles offshore. We have two separate intakes it's north of the bay. Mm-hmm. It really is outside of influence from human action or significant influence. They rate the surface water sources, and we have the highest rating you can get on a system like that.
Okay. Good, thank you.
Great, any other questions? No, appreciate it, Peter. Thank you very much. That was very nice.
You're welcome.
Okay, next presentation is it Karen Murphy, Director of Public Services?
That is correct, Chairman.
Okay, well, thank you for having me here tonight. I'm going to talk to you briefly about the City of Midland landfill. So our landfill is quite a large site, over 335 acres. And we process about 550 tons of waste per day. We see about 100 cars per day on average for about 30,000 vehicles a year. We also have the landfill, in addition to our refuse disposal in the actual landfill cell. We have a very large scale composting operation. The city brings all of their curbside leaf collection, yard waste collection, and brush collection to the landfill. And the yard waste is turned into a finished compost product, and the brush and woody debris is run through a chipper and shredded and used on site. And then we also have the landfill gas collection system. So here's just a brief overview, shows you the different cells. The cell that we'll be building this upcoming fiscal year is cell 17. So that will be added to our collection of active cells. You can see the compost location as well. And areas A and B are the original sections of the landfill. Those are all capped, as are the sections 1 through 9 that you see there. So as I mentioned, we do have a landfill gas to energy program. It's a renewable energy, green energy source. So a landfill by nature produces methane gases, and we are required through state and federal regulations to do something to control the emission of those gases. So we have a gas collection system. The gas is, pipes are run through the active landfill cells, and the gas is collected and it's piped over to the wastewater plant. We have 3 miles of underground gas line that runs from the landfill through various abandoned pipeline areas and various right-of-ways throughout the city. And then the gas makes it to the wastewater plant where we have the actual energy production site. So we have 2 20-cylinder CAT engines there, and they produce about 13,000 megawatts per year. The waste heat from this production is used to heat the wastewater building and the digester units. And then the energy itself at this time is purchased by Dow as green energy. Here's a snapshot of the building that is at the wastewater plant, and inside the building are the 2 very large Caterpillar engines. So here's just a look at our landfill renewable energy improvements. The renewable energy program was brought into the landfill a couple years ago and combined into one budget. Now for this next year, we have about $888,000 worth of equipment, and we have some facility improvements of $180,000. The facility improvements relate to maintenance on the closed landfill cells on the grounds. The equipment relates to things such as rebuilding of the generators. Those large Caterpillar engines take a lot of maintenance, as you can imagine. There's routine maintenance built into that equipment line item. This is a decrease of $2.6 million compared to last year's CIP, and that's because in fiscal year 2021, we budgeted about $2.7 million for the development of that cell 17. So the significant items in this year's CIP, we are budgeting for a potential leachate pretreatment system. What this is we have leachate that comes off the landfill that we send through to the wastewater plant for treatment. The wastewater plant is in a kind of a holding pattern waiting for their renewal of their permit. And if their new wastewater operating permit requires cleansing of those leachates, then we will have to build a pretreatment plant at the landfill to do that. We have about $750,000 in the CIP for that. and we're just rolling that forward until we hear about that wastewater plant permit. And then, as I mentioned, we have aging infrastructure. So the closed cells need improvements on a regular basis. We do have gas collection in some of those closed cells. And as the natural process of debris and garbage decomposes, they're shifting in the cells. Those pipes get pinched off from time to time. The gas collection wells may get pinched off, and we have to go in and do maintenance to those to keep them operational. That's all I have on the landfill. I just put this last slide up here to kind of guide Grant's discussion if there's any questions on any of these areas or anything I can help you with on the landfill.
Hey, commissioners, any questions?
Yes, Commissioner Seibel. So how many years is cell 17 expected to be in production?
We will be starting the construction of it this year, and we still have to look at some of the budgetary issues with completing the entire cell. Our goal would be to have it completed by next year, but we may have to, once the bids come in, we may have to reconsider that.
And what's the life of that once it's done?
You know what? I don't know the life of cell 17. In overall, we have 40 years of useful airspace left in the landfill.
Thank you.
This is Commissioner Hine. Given the amount of debris that you guys took in from the floods in May and June, did that alter your expected landfill life, or is it just a mere blip in the steady stream of garbage coming in?
No, it definitely wasn't a blip. It was significant. We collected as a result of the flood. We took up about 6 months worth of airspace that we didn't anticipate taking up. And so it was fairly significant. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, commissioners, other questions? Doesn't sound like any other questions. Karen, thank you very much.
You are welcome.
Grant.
All right, so that does conclude our individual presentations for the CIP. I think some of the things that you guys asked some questions on were things that I was going to highlight to kind of get us to think a little bit more about the upcoming master planning process and certainly the ways that we design and allow for the growth of the city do have direct impact on the stuff that we're going to have to maintain. And so one of the things that I know we've talked about over the years and maybe should focus a little bit more of our attention on is really the idea of growth and how growth really does sustain a lot of these models that we've built in order to allow for there to be ongoing maintenance and the revenue that comes in to be able to pay for all of the maintenance that's necessary. Some of the things that you've heard tonight even include the longevity on our landfill and our current rates of consumption, how those, as Karen mentioned just now, 40 years, that's not very far off in the grand scheme of really when you think about the life of the master plan that we're thinking about. And so a 30-year master plan and about 10 years more on that for the life of the landfill is something that I think we should be conscious of as well, since obviously the trash that we generate as residents here does have to go somewhere. And so we're fortunate to have a municipal landfill and something that's under our control. And that should be something that we give consideration to as we go forward on the master planning process. But if there aren't any other questions, I guess, related to this, I know we still have our staff members that are with us right now. But Chairman, the next steps of this plan would be to send it on to City Council with a recommendation, either in support or any modifications that the commission sees fit. City Council would take this up then at their next scheduled meeting, which is, I believe, the second Monday in February. But it is their first meeting in February that they would take that up.
Okay, I think we're ready to move on in the process and Chair, public comments. Question?
One question for Grant. And this is Commissioner Hine. Going back as either last year's CIP or the one before, there was discussion when we were talking about the landfill about the acquisition of additional acreage. Is that still on the books? Is that an option? or is that no longer viable?
I do know there is some lands that surround the landfill that we don't have control over, and then there's also some lands that we do have control over that weren't identified within that diagram that Karen showed. I see Karen did unmute herself, or maybe could unmute herself. I don't know, Karen, if you could jump in and answer this particular question.
We have not been talking about that as of recent. Our focus right now is getting South 17 under construction. But with that said, I am fairly new to the landfill within the last year, so there could be discussions that had started prior to that. So I'm sorry, I don't have a better answer for you, but I'm just being honest.
Fine, thank you.
Grant, I have a question for, I guess it's mainly for Karen. Do we sell landfill space to other municipalities or jurisdictions or businesses that are located outside our purview?
We do not. We are what's considered a closed system. So waste from Midland County must come to our landfill, but we do not accept waste outside. Now, an exception to that would have been during the flood. We did accept some waste from some residents in Gladwin County, but given the nature of that situation, we felt like it was a neighborly thing mm-hmm. to do. We did have to get permission from the state to do that. So we had actual agreements written up that allowed us to open our borders for a short amount of time to accept that flood debris. But on a regular basis, no, we do not.
So it's countywide, not citywide, in terms correct. Of your scope of, and then I assume there's some sort of a recharge or arrangements with people who live in the townships then, or?
Correct. The townships pay, you know, tipping fees. The city itself pays tipping fees when we take mm-hmm. materials into our landfill. But yes, it is a countywide landfill.
Okay, thank you very much.
Hey, any other questions right now? Okay, I want to move to public comments. Are there any public comments? And if the MCTV people or the host could let us know. And if there are public comments, if you come on, please state your name and address.
I see nobody has joined. So
nobody has joined. Okay, so we can skip that.
Yep.
Okay. Any last comments by any of the staff presenters that you want to make? That'd be Karen, Grant, Shane, or Peter.
None for me.
Okay, doesn't sound like any then. Okay, I'm gonna close the public hearing then, and now we'll go to deliberation, possible formulation of a recommendation to City Council tonight. So any comments, commissioners?
This is Commissioner Hying. Every year as we go through this process, I'm extremely impressed by the professionalism and the thoroughness and the job these guys do putting this together and putting it in a format that's understandable for those of us who, you know, see it once a year or maybe twice a year or whatever. So it really is a fantastic job they do. I really appreciate it. It really helps a lot, I think. And I, you know, it's as we go forward into the you know, the process this coming year, it's going to be good to keep, you know, keep all these changes and potential improvements in mind.
Okay, Commissioner Bain, looks like you're unmuted. You have a question or
comment? Just to follow up on that, and also this seemed to go smoother with, I think it, you know, Grant, you did streamline, you know, the presentation format, and I think it was more focused this year.
Yeah. Commissioner Mayville, my comment is, I know you mentioned, Grant, there are some people standing in with presentations on this, but everybody did a wonderful job. I was very impressed with all four aspects of it. So thank all four presenters for just doing a bang up job on what they did.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. I do want to just say I think this year has been a bit of an unusual one, of course, just with some staffing vacancies that we have and folks that have really stepped up. I think that and a bit of a moving target, especially on the wastewater things, which does have a bit of a domino effect into how we're planning for streets and other things like that, like we usually would. The folks that we work with and the ones that I get to work with at the department head level and the ones that are leading the CIPs from their own departments, it is, I feel very fortunate to have the folks that we do and the dedicated people that are there to be able to get us to this point and be able to present it to all of you.
Yeah, very, very good. So any further deliberation? Does anybody have a formulation of a recommendation that they may want to make a motion on to City Council? I think, do we need to waive the rules to consider this tonight, Grant, or do we just consider it?
You are able to consider it this evening, being that it's not one of our other more land use related type of topics like a conditional use permit or a site plan.
Okay, so we don't need to go through a process of waiving rules then?
You do not.
Okay. So commissioners, I'm looking for somebody.
This is Commissioner Hine. I move we approve, or not approve, but we move the current CIP plan to the City Council for consideration.
Okay, with no changes?
No changes.
Okay, we have a motion.
Commissioner Bain seconds.
Okay, and we have a second. Any last comments prior to vote? Okay, Grant, would you please take a roll call vote on that motion to take as shown to us a recommendation to the City Council for them to approve it?
Okay, Seibel.
Yes.
Bain.
Yes.
Roderick.
Yes.
Hine.
Yes.
Kohlinger.
Yes.
And Mayville.
Yes. Okay, thank you everyone very much. Great job on that. So we'll move on to old business, and we have none on the agenda. Are there any public comments unrelated to the agenda? I guess if no one was on the line, we wouldn't have any. So
it still looks like no one's on the line, Chairman.
So, okay, I can't tell. So all right, no new business on the agenda. Communications, I think there continue to be stuff that comes from the Michigan Association of Planning via email. So that does come out. Item number 6, report of the chairperson. I do not have a report tonight. Number 7, report of the planning director. Grant, it sounded like you had a couple of things.
Yes, Chairman, I did want to talk on a couple of things. One is I did want to submit the 2020 report for the Planning Commission at this meeting. Unfortunately, staff has been bogged down with some other things and did not have a chance to get to that. So I will shoot for our next meeting in February to present you with that. Also at that meeting in February, we didn't add it to the agenda, but I do think we'll have time to be able to discuss some of the survey questions that we'll want to send out for the master plan process to be able to start to get that to roll through. One of the things that we did receive feedback wise to date on the questions as it relates to the master plan is whether or not, or how we go about arriving at the questions that we want to ask. Of course, anything that we put out survey wise, we do want to run by all of you. And so you have a chance to be able to present that or not really present that, but to be able to modify those as you see fit. So that's part of our review process on those questions. But one thing I did have, and it's a bit of a question I wanted to ask the commission, was what do you think of the thought of asking the community for their questions? Maybe put out a press release and ask people to submit to us questions that they wish the planning commission or the city would ask as part of the master planning process.
This is Commissioner Hine, and I think that's an excellent idea. I don't know. I'm hopeful you'll get input, but. I think that's a great way to start it, to get a sense for where is the community at this point in time? How do they view it? What are the really important issues for them that we got to make sure that we address as we go forward? So yeah, I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's a really good idea. I think when you go to solicit that grant, that you have an explanation of what the master planning process is about, you know, keep it so everyone can understand it without getting into too much detail, so we can get some input. That would be nice. Commissioner Seibel, do you have something?
Yeah, I think that's an excellent suggestion. I really think it helps bring people into the process, feel like that you know, the scope. I mean, we have a fairly decently defined scope, or well-defined scope, really, but just hearing, you know, something come up that might be a little bit different than we thought, or triggers an idea, you know, certainly kind of crowdsourcing this kind of thing is ultimately a good idea, I think.
All right, just making a note of that, crowdsourcing. I didn't think of that term, but that's yeah, pretty much what we're doing on yeah. this. So, all right, well, yeah, I appreciate the feedback on that. That's something that we can do and get back possibly at that first meeting in February, if not the second meeting for sure. Also, as it relates to the master plan, we are still working in the background to get that the website up to date and up to speed to be able to launch that. That's something that we'll want people to engage with, of course. And so before we hit live and send that out to folks, we want to have a good background of information presented there to provide that really kind of broader framework that we're really working with as it relates to kind of the three areas of neighborhoods and livability, sustainability and resilience, and transportation and mobility. So so that is something that staff is continuing to work on and hopes to have that live yet this week. One other thing I do want to bring attention to was a decision that was made by council last night and provide a little bit of explanation as to what and where we go from here. This is related to the Buttle Street Road Diet or street reconfiguration. That was approved 3-2 last night to move forward and allow for MDOT to pursue the two-lane cross section of the road. That one thing that was discussed at length last night is really the contents within the resolution that was supported by council. Not only was there an agreement to want to pursue a dieting of the road, but there was equally need for city staff to engage MDOT to ensure that some of the concerns that were brought up by the members of the public, that those would be adequately addressed through possibilities like turning lanes at key intersections, radius, particularly like maybe Jerome and Buttles, to alleviate concerns around truck traffic and the turning radiuses of those particular areas. It was talked about in concept and not necessarily in great detail, other than to give the directive to staff to try and push MDOT in that direction as they start to embark on the design of that particular part. One part that was not discussed last night is Indian. And so that is a question that is still out there as to what is the decision for Indian into the future. And so staff will be working with MDOT to know how soon we need to have a decision as it relates to Indian, since last night's action was simply on Buttles. But one thing I will say for certain is that opportunities for the public to engage in the design process is something that MDOT has told us that they will ensure takes place. And so there will be opportunities for public to engage in public input sessions going forward. I think the other thing too we have to remember as we continue to think about this is really what's the vision that we want for our downtown. And so now that we've kind of answered a larger question about should we move towards a two-lane profile with specific type of improvements, but really it's about how do we then create the type of downtown that we're really trying to achieve, and how can we weave in a very important corridor, not only for the service of our downtown, but service of surrounding areas into the fabric of downtown. And so you've heard me talk on a number of occasions that the way that the road's designed currently, it devalued the properties that surrounded it. Anyone that may be out walking on those roads, cars fly through there, to be quite blunt. It's not a very fun pedestrian experience, but one thing we have to recognize is that capacity and that number of volume of cars and trucks that are going through likely will not change. There isn't a bypass that's being designated as part of this type of discussion. And so it's a matter of thinking about coexisting with all forms of transportation through there. So as we go forward, I don't know exactly what process will be in place. I can say there will be public input opportunities, but I think it's something that we have to keep in mind is how do we continue to foster the right kind of vision for our downtown and head into that direction that I know we've talked about, which is creating context-sensitive design, fostering economic development, ensuring that we're providing good traffic and safety standards for motorists, but how are we fostering really an equitable environment for all users of those corridors? And so that's where we find ourselves out currently. This is just sort of one of the milestones, I guess, of this project that's continuing. And so there will be other discussions that continue to happen, and I'll plan on keeping you all up to date as those come forward, since I know this is something that, of course, impacts all the work that you do on this commission.
Thanks,
Grant. Okay, thank you, Grant. Good update. Items for the next agenda, which is February 9th, we have the 2020 Planning Commission Annual Report, as Grant talked about. And then additionally, we will have a survey questions for the master plan and a discussion around that. So Grant, for those survey questions, are you going to solicit public input prior? I know that's short time, or is that going to be something that's going to go after as well?
I think we'll probably have some of the things that staff's been working on. I think we'll probably open up sort of the things that I know Tom and I have been working on as well as other staff. So we'll have a combination of that. I don't want to put too quick of a time frame on for the public to engage. I think between now and preparing that agenda is a little bit too quick. So what I think will probably have happen will be an initial look at staff's considerations. We'll then weave in at our next meeting when the public will be able to participate in the questions that they want asked, and we'll kind of marry the two, if you will, and find where a lot of those potential questions may fit in naturally. Hopefully, one thing I do want to say is I think the planning department, especially over the last 10 years or so, we've really been trying to make efforts to be engaged in the community to understand what type of community needs are out there. We do that through engagement through a variety of different committees and groups, whether that's the Midland Business Alliance or it's nonprofit groups through the housing study or the continuum of care, local planning body, even the capital or the community health improvement plan, the CHIP, that's been ongoing, and some other things too. So we have been really trying to be engaged and understand really what the community is desiring, and even social media, I guess that's one big thing that we keep an eye on as well, to see what the chatter is out there. And so I know leading up to the questions that we want to ask, we're not doing it in a vacuum, if you will. We're really trying to consider what we've heard from folks in the community to date. And so my hope is that the questions that we do receive through the crowdsourcing of questions will be very close to what staff's thinking about, knowing that we've been trying to listen as best as we can. So that, I guess, is my thought of hopefully the marriage of those questions will be a pretty easy exercise, and that we'll be able to reach a good consensus and move forward on those by the end of February.
I think the mere openness to consider those questions is really a positive thing. Even if we don't get a lot of them, people will know that it was open and it was available should they want to.
Okay, thank you. Agenda item number 9. Does anybody have a motion? Everybody wants to keep meeting?
That's the Commissioner Seibel. I move to adjourn.
Okay. We have a motion. We have a second.
Commissioner Broderick seconds.
All right. We have a motion to adjourn. Grant, would you please take a roll call vote?
Hein.
Yes.
Kohlinger.
Yes.
Mayville.
Yes.
Seibel.
Yes.
Bain.
He's on mute.
Yes.
All right. And Broderick.
Yes.
All right. We're adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
This program is presented by the MCTV Network, a service of the City of Midland, Michigan. This presentation coincides with programming on Midland Government Television, covering government affairs in the City of Midland.